got up, and a young man, he was introducing his father. His father was up in years, and he just couldn't think quite right. But they wanted him to say something. Hopefully, they would preach. Preacher got up, and he said, "I remember back in 1932 in Little White Methodist Church, God saved my soul, convicted me, and I got saved." He stopped, had a blank look in his face. He said, "I remember in 1932, in a Little White Methodist Church, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I've never been the same." He stopped, he looked, had a blank look in his face. He said, "I remember in 1932, he went over it again. His son knew what was happening. And after his father said that about three or four times, he got up, and here's what he said. He said he may not know exactly where he is now, but he knows where he's been. Amen. I don't know exactly where I am right now, but I know where I've been. I've been saved by the mercy of Jesus Christ. And God help us if we ever get over that. I want to say tonight, I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad by the mercy of God I have been saved. I deserve hell, but because of mercy, it's been withheld from me. Y'all can sit there if you want. It's jubilee time. It's rejoicing time. And this boy is not going to get over it, and I hope and pray you haven't. Are you glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
See, we look for things, and hey, let me tell you something. Just mention the name of Jesus ought to get us stirred and ought to get us fired up. And I certainly appreciate just being here. In fact, I've been thinking coming down the road. I think it started back in 1994 since I've been here for about on and off for about 25, 26 years. I count this as my second home. Somebody asked me, I was back in home, and they said, "You get to go back to Cartersville, and you're just going in full circle." And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And I said, "I'm not moving." He said, "Do you mean by the grace of God?" I said, "Yeah, by the grace of God, if I move, I'm coming down here to help you, brother." Amen. All right, I hope you let me. But I'm so glad that you allowed me, preacher, to be here at Calvary, and why you chose me again, thank you so much, and I'm honored. I want to thank you so much, your kindness, and you said I could preach an hour, so thank you very much. But here's the thing, I've got some free tickets to Dairy Queen. I heard it close at 8, so I got to hurry up, all right? So, but anyway, it's good to be here. I take this seriously, and I'll say something in just a moment. It's good. I'm always glad to be with my mom and dad. A couple weeks ago, we were able to preach together in Chattanooga. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he gave me his Bible that he preached in a long time ago. So I've been using that ever since. And so far, so good. So if the sermon's not good tonight, it's not the word. It's because of who used this, all right? And but no, I'm kidding. I do this in honor of him. I sit here, I thought, "Lord, give me a double portion of the Spirit of God that's rested upon your life." Elijah was followed by Elisha. And he turned around and he said, "Man, what do you want?" He said, "I want double what you have." So if you ask me what I want double of what that man has right there. Because he's still going at it. And I pray by the grace of God that I can go right behind him and keep going. Because I'm too near home to turn back now. Amen. Amen. Are y'all glad you're saved?
Yeah,
I'm so glad. And thank you for letting me be here. And another reason why, and I want you to go ahead and take your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And while you're turning, the reason why I'm taking this sermon very seriously is that every year I get cards from this church. I counted 12 cards that I got this year. I get 4 or 5 every year. But I got 12 this year. And I'm telling you, I read them almost every day. I read them before I got here this evening. And it simply tells me that you want something from the Lord. And the last thing that I want to do, every card said we want God's word to be brought to us. We're praying for you. And so tonight, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to just follow up this evening on this subject. Never forget where the Lord has brought us from. I'm so glad that we can remember. And I'm glad through Scripture that we can know where God has brought us from. I'm going to ask you again, are you glad you're saved? Say amen. Amen. I'm not going to preach an hour. Some of you just, just relax. I'm not going to preach an hour. I see that big clock up there at 6 o'clock. So it's what I can tell. So I got to 8, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Father, will you help us for a few moments as we study your word? God, just give us what we need. Lord, give us what we need. Those cards so spoke to my heart. That means that these people here at this church long for something. And Lord, I can't bring it, but what I can do is show them. But our choice is up to us. So Lord, do a mighty work, and I pray. And I love you and thank you for all that you're doing. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. All God's people said, amen. Will you stand to your feet if you will? I want to read one verse of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And I want you to notice, if you will, verse number 12. God always, I said that story from the very beginning, God always has us to mark a spot. I want you to listen to what he said, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. This is what he said. Because of what God, and if you don't mind, I'm going to take a few moments. Just let me get on the runway, get started. But I want to share with you why Samuel made that statement. Listen to what he said. We're going to set up a stone. We're going to call it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I want to ask you a question. Has God helped you in the past? Say amen. Amen. He still wants to do the same. You may be seated. Never forget how the Lord has helped us. Proverbs chapter number 22 says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Throughout the Scripture, he said, we need to mark some things that have taken place, and when you mark it, don't forget it. Genesis chapter number 28, don't turn. But Jacob, when he met the Lord, he said, I want you to take that pillow, and I want you to set it up for a pillar. Well, where I'm coming from, we used to sleep on pillars, what they used to call it. But anyway, y'all get that after a while. But they called it pillars. I got to fluff my pillar. Well, he said he slept on a pillar and set up a pillar. Well, whatever it is. But he set it up because he called it Bethel. He said, because never forget it, because that's where you met the Lord. Joshua chapter number 4, he said, I want you to take 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River. And then see to it that you take those 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River and set it up in Gilgal, locate at the location of the camp the first night that they spent. Never forget what God had done for them. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, we find the same thing. I don't know much about Mizpah, don't know much about Shin. But in between those two places, Samuel said, we're going to set up a stone. And here's what that stone is going to say. Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us. You see, I believe with all my heart, we need to go back and realize that God has helped us. There's an old hymn that used to go something like this. Come thou fount of every blessing. And in one of the verses it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hitherto thy help I've come. What I want to do in this service for a few moments this evening, y'all with me? Say amen. In this service for a few moments is I want to take our mind back. And I want us to understand that we are here tonight all because of the help of the Lord. I think it would do all of us some good to go back in our mind and realize if it had not been for the Lord, we wouldn't have hope and we wouldn't have help. I love what Psalms 121 says. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which comes my what? My help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I want to go on record tonight here at Calvary Baptist Church. I love you with all my heart. If there's one place I always look forward to coming to preach, and if this is my last sermon here, I want to make a statement. I want to go back in my mind and I want to rejoice tonight because the Lord has helped us. Some of you are running on fumes, but the reason why that you're here tonight is because the Lord has helped us. I think He deserves our praise. I think He deserves our recognition. I think He deserves our lifting Him up. I think He deserves our exaltation because He deserves our praise to praise Him tonight, because by His help, we are where we are tonight. Can I get an amen? Amen. How did Samuel, why did he even say that? Well, notice where God brought us. Notice where God brought us. Notice that phrase, hitherto had the Lord helped us. That little word hitherto just simply means up to now, the Lord hath helped us. Now, this is where I'm going to get in on the runway and then I'm going to take off. But listen carefully. Think about what God has done for this church. Think about what God has done for you. Think about what God has done for your family. Think about all the prayers that God has answered. I mean, we are where we are because of the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I want you to understand. We are in this place because we have been helped from someone greater than us. It is none other than God Himself. Notice the progress behind them. Notice, if you will, verse number 6. Because we don't know much about Mizpah and Shin. Now, the word Shin means tooth. Now, that's a blessing, isn't it? I mean, that's all we know about the place called Shin. We don't know much about the place called Mizpah, but the Bible said in verse number 6 that they were having a personal revival. They were repenting. Why? Because it had not always been that way. You see, God's people had fallen before that now. They had fallen into adultery. And because of that, they've been worshiping false pagan gods. The Bible said that God chastened His people. Don't turn, but if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 4, He allowed the Philistines to come and beat His people. Not only did He allow them to beat His people, but they took the Ark of the Covenant, which means the presence of God. God allowed all of that. That's where it was, at the place called Mizpah. But in chapter number 7, something happened. Something has reversed. God has intervened. His presence is back again. And where they have been defeated before, now they are victorious. They are making progress. Hey, church, listen to me carefully. We've been through battles this year. We've been through battles last year. There are some battles we've lost. There are some battles we've won. But every time that we turn around, aren't you glad that the battles that we won, we've allowed Him to be our help. Those times in which we have failed. I don't know about you. I love what the pastor said. I am not where I used to be. But thank God by His help, I am not what I used to be. Thank God I'm not where I was. I am where I am. It's not because you're a great church member. It's not because you can quote the Bible. It's not because you can preach the Bible. It's all because of the grace of God that we are where we are. You see, we are where we are because God has brought you out of where you are and placed you where you are. See, there's progress. What they were doing was this, folks. You say, well, why did God allow things to happen? Why did He allow me to fail? All I know is this, He allows us to make choices, but He never left us. He was still there, and when we fail, He picked us up. And tonight, I want to raise my banner, not in surrender, but in victory. The Lord has brought me to where I am. But the possibilities that are before us, y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. He said hitherto that the Lord helped us. Now, Samuel did not say. Now, folks, God has helped us up to now, but that's it. No. Samuel said, up until now, the Lord has helped us. But he set up an Ebenezer stone. Man, I read that. I studied that. And one person said, when they set it up, the stone is like they set it up in retrospectively and prospectively. It was like he was looking in the past and looking ahead. Here's what I saw. Man, I saw this stone and I thought, those months behind us where God has brought us, he's brought us here. But thank God, my God changes not. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to say, Calvary Baptist Church, I want to say every person that's here tonight that's not ashamed of the gospel, that's not ashamed to be a child of God, the same God that brought you out is the same God that brought you here and the same God that's going to lead you in the days ahead. The same God that brought us from the past in the past days and past years is the same God that's going to take us on. You believe that tonight? Say amen. Amen. You see, it's grace that's brought us safe thus far. And grace will lead us on. You remember when your hand was shaking? Not because you had a disease, but because you were weary. Because you were fretful. What did he do? He just took that hand that was shaking and all of a sudden it quit shaking. Why? Because he put your hand in his hand and he led you down this victory, down this journey. I say, thank God, hitherto the Lord has and the Lord still is going to help us. Don't fret. The word fret simply means don't burn on the inside. Don't fear. Why? Because there's no use to fear God. By the way, when we get scared to death, people say, well, I have every right to. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. There are some things that we say we need. God didn't give it to us. God didn't give you that. Didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power, of sound mind, and of love. He gives to us everything we need. So tonight, Calvary, I say, thank God, never forget where he has hit, has helped us. Why? Never forget where he has brought us. Secondly, never forget when he has protected us. Y'all still with me? Say amen. You see, when Samuel said this and he raised that stone, something was happening. Will you go back to verse number 7 of this chapter? I want you to notice what the Bible said. The Bible said that the Philistines came back. When they came back, notice verse number 7. Now keep in mind, they were rejoicing over the fact that God had taken care of them. But now notice, they're in a spirit of now seeking and a spirit of revival. And the Bible said the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid. Man, the same crowd's coming after them again. And you think, well, what's going to happen? Man, they begin to tremble. Why? Well, they're in a spirit of mind, of seeking God, of repentance. And they're thinking about what God has done for them. So the enemy comes. And by the way, anytime that you seek God, the enemy is not going to say, well, bless your heart. No, he's coming after you. The enemy was coming after them while they were repenting, while they were praying. But the Bible said right in the midst of it, their mind was not on fighting. It was on praying. It was on repenting. But God stepped in. And when he stepped in and he took the battle, Samuel said, hitherto has the Lord helped us. What he's saying is this: God intervened. God's got to intervene in our life. Folks, he has intervened in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen? You say, how did he do that? Well, notice verse number 10. I love this. Because every time that the word of God is spoken, it seems like God has something to say to us. Because how do you overcome your enemy? Well, number one, his word often stops our foe. Listen to what he said, verse number 10. Samuel offered up a burnt offering. Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Now watch this. But the Lord thundered. I love that. The Lord thundered. I've been thinking, how in the world can God thunder? You know what that really means? It means boom. I don't know if you've ever had a boom before, but let me bring it down to where we are. I'm a football fan. And what's Auburn? I don't like Auburn, and I hate even putting this on public, but he started it. What's the coach's name? Coach Malzahn, whatever. Gus, I'm glad y'all don't know it anyway. their coach, when he started coaching Auburn and they made a touchdown, here's what he would do. He would go down, he called that play, and he'd go, boom! You see him? You remember seeing him do that? I know, because they beat Alabama one year. I mean, the boom! He'd go to, boom! Now you see other coaches. They run down there, they call that play, boom! That's what I believe that verse of Scripture means. God spoke, and all of a sudden he went, boom! Y'all get that after a while. He thundered. He got their attention. Why? Because what man can say, Satan does not fear. But when Jesus was in for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, what did he do? The very first person he met was Satan. Satan tempted him not once, not twice, but three times. And what did Jesus say all three times? It is written. You know what Jesus was saying? Boom! 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 Satan had to walk. He had to flee. The next time Satan comes to you and troubles you, you tell them the word of God thunders. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The verse, the Bible said that they thundered. His word thundered. How many of you ever need a word from God? How many of you have ever been alone and you needed a word from God? Satan came, just seemed like in my mind several months ago. I don't know if he's ever done this to you. Sometimes you get weary in the battle. I was preaching every week, praying, and just seemed like nothing was happening. Satan perched up on my shoulder. He whispered in my ear, why don't you just quit it? And won't you find you something else to do? And make another living, because God has forgotten where you are. And I thought for a moment, no. And all of a sudden, Galatians 6:9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. This year at Gateway Church, our theme is finish strong. I didn't say whether we see it or not. We're going to finish strong. You know why? Because what God whispered in my ear, and it went boom in my soul. It is this: son, stay at it. Son, there's going to be return one day. My word will not return void. You can do all things through me, and I will do it through you. Just stay at it. I'm telling you, don't quit. Just stay at it. His voice again came to me and said, hey, God led you to do this, and look, God has now let you alone because he's not supplying your need. We had a decision made. Let me tell you this right quick. Last year we were praying, and our lease was running out where we were. God allowed us to begin a new work. Just long story short, we were looking at a place. God closed that door. My heart was broke. I didn't know what to do. Satan said, God has left you. And our lease was running out in October. He said, God has left you. God has forsaken you. I got on my hands and knees, preacher, and I wept. I said, oh God, if there's ever a time you need, I need you, help me. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I beg God. I remember the first time I ever did that. Y'all still with me tonight? I remember the first time I ever happened. I was with my father. He told me, he said, let's go. I think it was back 1982, 83. He said, let's go to Holland Rock where I was called to preach. Me and another young preacher that just called to preach about 3 months before me, all three of us went. My dad, we climbed up in that hole in the rock. He said, this is where God's called me to preach. I went to the back. Another preacher was there. We began to pray, but I couldn't pray. I started weeping. I thought to myself, oh God, I want you. I want you to help me. But that was all I could say. About an hour, my dad said, I'm done. You could hear him crying. That other young preacher went down. About that time, Brother Justin, I just said, oh God, will you help me? And when I said those words, all of a sudden it seemed like heaven fell down at that moment. I don't know what happened, but that burden was released. There were the other day, and last March when I came here, we were trying to make a decision. And all of a sudden that door closed and Satan came. He said, hey, He said, God's forsaking you. God's made a fool out of you. I just got on my hands and knees in my office. I fell before God and I said, oh God, you did it as a boy when I first started. Will you help me again? About that time, the Bible said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. I got up and I said, boom. Something went off on the inside of me. And then I quoted Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all their need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I was preaching in Atlanta on August 16th. I was preaching for a fellow that's been in his church for 34 years. Man, I couldn't preach because my heart was heavy. But after church, I left. I called Gina. I said, how'd it go? She told me about that time. I said, something happened. God did something in that service that day. And on that Wednesday, not only did God close one door, He opened up 11 acres with a building and with a multi-purpose where we could purchase it, not lease it. I just wanted to say, hey Satan, boom! God will take care of His people. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the... Y'all just sit there if you want. I'm going to preach and I'm going to have me a good time. He's helped us, has He not? We set up the Ebenezer stone and said, the Lord is our helper. Every time I go into that building, you've been there. Every time I go into that building, I'm thinking, there's that Ebenezer stone. If it had not been for God... Do I need to do my own amen and two? Are y'all with me? I know y'all are. I know y'all are. I think y'all still thinking about Auburn. Let's quit thinking about losers and let's think about Jesus, all right? Are y'all with me? You see what he does, Satan comes to you. And before you know it, we forget what the Word of God has to say. Satan cannot stand it when a child of God leans not upon ourself. Did you know some of you are here, and I don't know who you are, but I promise you, you came in spiritually dragging. You don't know how you even got here. You sat down. Everything that's happened, everything's going through your mind. I mean, it just seemed like you can't even focus. But you know the reason why you got here was because somebody took you under where you were and just brought you here, helped you to where you are. You may not know a verse of scripture, but there was a boy by the name of blind Bartimaeus. When he heard that Jesus was passing by, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Out of all that crowd, Jesus stood still. Everybody else is bumping him. They said, why are you standing still? He said, somebody needs me. He'll stop for you if you just call on him. Some of you ought to be raising your hand and shouting glory, because God's already done something for you and already helped you. Don't get over it. Amen. You see, the Word of God, the Scriptures, boom upon us. But He also gives us strength. Notice verse number 11, the strength of our faith. Because in verse number 11, y'all, oh man, this is so good. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines. How did they do that? They were afraid at first. I tell you how. Because the Lord was there to help them. God stepped in. God showed up. And God moved. And they had a great victory. I'm telling you, when you need Him the most, God is always there. I don't know how you feel, preacher. Every time I get up, I think about what the Scripture said. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. All the demons and all the forces of hell need to listen to this preacher. And you need to hear our hearts, because somewhere I know he's going to get word. We cannot fear you, and we will not, in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, according to Psalms chapter number 46, verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. You say, preacher, are you telling him? Yes, I am telling him because I got my Father standing here. I've got his word on it. He has protected me. When I feared, he was there to help me. And when I didn't think I could go on, he pushed me. He helped me. And tonight we ought to stand and we ought to shout. Why? Because the Lord has helped us to where we are. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Boy, I'm glad tonight to say we can say to Satan and all of his demons, we are victorious because of the cross and because of the resurrection. And that resurrected Christ lives within my heart. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. Y'all may not be getting anything out of this. But man, it's going to be worth my trip to the Dairy Queen when I'm done. Amen. And by the way, my gift card is for $20, and I'm eating every cent of it tonight. I'm kidding. Now, y'all with me tonight? You see, I can say never forget where the Lord has helped us because of where he's brought us, when he has protected us. I'm going to say this. I've got to move on. I'm about done. But folks, let me tell you when God's going to help you. When you come to the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself, you just got to the beginning of who he is. That's where they were. They were just praying. That's what you're doing. Hey, you're going to have Jubilee this week. And you know what? Satan's not going to say, well, look at them going to church. No, he's going to hound you all week. But let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get you a verse of scripture. Hide it within your heart. Let it thunder. But when you are at your weakest and you're seeking God at his best, he will help you in that time. Where God has brought us. When God has protected us. But I want us to remember who God has sent us. Because not only is that rock important, but the one who set it up is important. Samuel. Samuel to me represents none other than the person of Jesus Christ. When he said that hitherto the Lord has helped us, they begin to listen to him. You know why? Because he was there as a mediator to help them to understand. Do you know the reason why that I'm here tonight? And the only reason why you're here is because God the Father works through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is our mediator and he's here with us. And he said, look at this stone. I have helped you. But Samuel said, it's not me. It's the Lord that's helped us. You say, well, you see Jesus and Samuel. Yeah, go back. Notice if you will. Quickly, notice verse number 5. Notice what Samuel was doing. Samuel was praying for them. And then in verse number 8, they said, cease not to cry unto the Lord for us. You see, here we have an advocate. Here we have someone standing in the gap. Not only did he speak to the people for God, he spoke to God for the people. He was praying. For those of you that sent me a card this week, you'll never know how much that encouraged me. You put me on the spot, and here's the reason why. The more cards that I got, the more I realized that there's a hunger. Folks, I cannot fulfill that hunger for you, but I know one who can. Some of you have been praying for us. Some of you have been praying that God opened doors, and he has. I've got people that I've not yet seen in our church have texted me, phoned me, called me, said, we're praying for you. But I got one over on the other side, moment by moment, making intercession for me. And if you forget who Sammy Burgess is, he won't. If you forget to pray for me, he won't. And the next time you feel like no one cares, he does. And in fact, if he ever ceased to pray for me and for you, we're done. But because of him, I'm telling you, because of his unceasing and unchanging being an advocate, standing with me, standing for me,
working in me and all of us tonight, I want to say I've got somebody that's praying for me. And we ought to thank Him for that. Amen? One other thing and I'm done. You see, Samuel also made a sacrifice. Verse number 9. He took a lamb, offered it up on their behalf. He didn't take some of the lamb. He took all the lamb. And that sacrifice, listen, it brought satisfaction to the righteous demands of God. But it also brought a glorious intervention of God. You see, it was only after Samuel offered the lamb as a sacrifice that God heard and gave victory. Listen to me. Calvary, y'all with me? Say amen. It was because of someone praying for them and because of something being given up to them, they have victory. Hey, I don't know if you've forgotten or not, but it wasn't 2020 when a lamb was slain. And it wasn't just that lamb in 1 Samuel 7. 2,000 years ago, there was a man that walked this earth called the Lamb of God. And he lived on this earth. But 33 years after he lived, it was time for him to take our sins. And when he did, he bore our sins, went to Calvary, died for our sins. And because of what he did then, on that day, you and I can worship on this day. God is our helper. You're looking at someone tonight that's been forgiven, that's been received, that's been accepted. Why? It's all because he's been my helper. And he's always been there. The reason why you're here tonight is because God's helped you. Amen? William Stillman Martin, back in 1905, a singer and hymn writer, booked several meetings. While he was booking those meetings, his wife got real sick. His daughter stepped in. She said, "Dad, you still need to go." And he said, "What about your mom?" She said, "God will take care of her." He called back later on and got in touch later on. He got in touch, got word back that his wife was fine. But his wife couldn't get over those words that was told, "God will take care of you." She sat down and she penned these words: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you." Amen. Hey, why don't you pray to Him? Why don't you pray to Him? Why don't you ask Him? He said, "Preacher, I have. Nothing's happened." Oh, you may be surprised. I want to close with this. I read this yesterday. Felt very impressed to close with this. There's a preacher that lived, that had a church in the middle part of town. He decided every day to open up his church so if anybody wanted to come in and pray, that they would. Few people would come in. He said every day at 12 o'clock, a man would walk in. He was dirty. His clothes were somehow torn. That man would come in, take about 5 minutes, bow and pray, and then walk out the door. Preacher never saw him before. And he thought, "Man, there's a lot of burglary going on. I've got to know what this man's doing." So this man came every day at 12 o'clock, and he prayed about 5 minutes, and then he left. So finally, the preachers came up to him and said, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I work at a factory down there and we have 45 minutes for lunch. And it takes me a good 25 minutes to walk. I walk and I only have 5 minutes to pray. And then I go back and go back to work." He said, "This is my strength. This is my help. This is all that I can do." He said, "Well, what do you pray?" He said, "I just pray a little prayer like this. I just came by to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this has been just checking in today." That was all he said. That preacher got under conviction, and so he knelt down and prayed this prayer: "I just came by
to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know much how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this is me just checking in today. He looked for that man every day, that dirty man, every day. One day that man didn't show up, 2 days that man didn't show up, and after a week the pastor called the factory, knew where he worked, and he said, what's wrong? They said, well, he turned ill, and he's in a hospital. So he went up there, and when he did, all the nurses were happy. All the nurses were rejoicing. Old Ben had been telling him about Jesus. Ben as happy as he could be, sick as a dog. But up there just making everybody's day cheerful. And that preacher just decided he was going to stay with that old man. The nurses came in. He said, you're the first person that's ever come in. He doesn't have any friends, doesn't have any family. All the nurses walked in. Then they walked out. And he said, preacher, they got it all wrong. They said, every day, I got a friend who comes by. And he comes by and says something to me. And it goes something like this. I just came by to tell you, Ben, how happy I've been since we found this friendship. And I took away your sin. I think about you always. And I love to hear you pray. And so, Ben, this is Jesus. Just check it in today. I want to tell you, here at Calvary Baptist Church, some of you need to let Jesus check in. And let him speak to your heart. And let him remind you he is your help. And some of you need tonight to rejoice in the fact that we set up an Ebenezer stone. And I pray this week at Calvary Baptist Church, we'll look at this Ebenezer stone. And 6 months, a year from now, we can say, hey, I don't know how, but I do know how I did get here. It was all because of the help of Jesus Christ. He does help you, doesn't he not? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know of a time, Calvary, I don't know of a time that I've really felt that you received the word this evening. You made it easy for this preacher to preach. And I want to say one more time to this pastor, thank you. I hope I've not hurt this meeting. All I want to do is just help you for just a moment. But here's one thing I do, I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for every card. I'll keep them. There's something that's going on in your heart. And maybe somebody who wrote a card, or maybe somebody who didn't. You need the help of the Lord tonight. You came in, you got this biggest smile on your face, but you're dragging on the inside. You don't have to come and confess to me. What you need to do is come up here tonight and say, Jesus, just checking in. You've taken away my sin, but boy, I certainly do need your help. Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I don't want to quit. If you're a teacher here tonight, don't quit. Pastor, stay at it. In due season, we'll reap if we faint not. If you're visiting with us tonight, I encourage you, if you need to come and pray, I don't know what they're going to sing tonight, but I do know one thing, he's waiting to hear. And every time you need him, he's going to be right by your side saying, I was just thinking about you, checking in. What do you need? Boy, God's parked on some of you right now, and he wants to help you. I don't know who you are, don't know what you need, but I got a good God in heaven who's just wanting you to talk to him. And he's wanting to whisper to you, I've got it. I've got this. Let him help you. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing. I'm done. Church, thank you for letting me be here. If I don't ever see you again on this side of eternity, I want to see you in glory. So please know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And if you don't, realize you're a sinner. Secondly, repent of your sin, believing that Jesus died for your sins and he lives today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come into your heart. And he will. And I know you know that. The choice is yours. Father, there are people here tonight that need your help. There are people here this evening. Dear Lord, I've watched them. They listen. But dear God, I pray that tonight we'll not be hearers only. We'll be doers of the word. Oh God, this is what Jubilee's all about. is to remember where you brought us from. Remember what you've done for us. And thanking you, dear Lord, for what you're going to do for us. Now, Lord, help us to be obedient. Holy Spirit, take control as you've done this service. We're going to give you the praise and glory for it is in Jesus' name. No one looking around. The pastor comes.